We're doing a short interview with Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, who's running for president of the United States of America, representing the Libertarian Party. And we're very honored to have him speaking to the Cuban people in this interview with Radio Martí about his views on Cuba and what they might expect from a Gary Johnson libertarian presidency. He's going to tell us all about that in the next 10 to 12 minutes, and we're thrilled to have him. Thank you, and welcome to Radio Martí, Governor Johnson.
Well, Alex, great to be with you, and I have to say, if there's one thing that I agree with President Obama on, it's that he has opened up relations with Cuba in a really big way, and I just heard the announcement flying on Southwest Airlines that they're opening routes now to Cuba, so I'm going to be on one of those flights.
I figured you might go that route. Yeah, I've read up and I'm familiar with your views. But let's just begin this way, Governor. Can you just like introduce yourself to the Cuban listeners? Tell them why we're doing this interview. In other words, why you're running for president in the United States?
Well, Alex, I am Gary Johnson. I'm the Libertarian nominee for president. I'm the former governor of New Mexico for two terms. I'm running with Bill Weld, who's the former governor of Massachusetts, as a Republican. We both got to serve two terms in our respective states. We were both Republican. We both served in states that were heavily Democratic, and we both got reelected by bigger margins the second time than the first time. So the two of us running for president and vice president, we think that we have a real opportunity here to potentially get elected, and that will hinge on being in the presidential debate. Presidential Debate Commission in the United States says that you have to be at 15% to be in the debates. Well, right now we're just a couple of percentage points away from actually achieving that.
Yeah, so, I saw a recent poll that put you at 13%. You're right. You're exactly right. And that would be good. That would be a good for the citizenry, for the U.S. The voters to get different perspectives and different views other than that offered by the Republicans and the Democrats. Explain to our audience in very simple terms, Governor Johnson, what the Libertarian Party and what libertarianism as a, you know, political, social, economic ideology or philosophy is all about.
Well, very simply, libertarians want government out of your pocketbook and out of your bedroom. Libertarians are for smaller governments, and that means less taxes to be paid. That's money you can be spending on your life, as opposed to government telling you what's best. And then people, you and I, being able to make choices in our own lives that only you and I should be making, as long as those choices don't put other people in harm's way.
So let me stop you there. I think that's a good point. I watched your CNN town hall a while back, and it struck me that you consistently said throughout the evening that your platform, the Libertarian platform, was all about choices. In Cuba, according to the government, there's essentially, and I'm generalizing here, but I'm not wrong, there's essentially one choice, either my way or the highway. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, that isn't fundamentally who we are as human beings. As human beings, we should be allowed all liberties concerning our own lives as long as those choices don't harm others. I think that that's the key to all of this. Alex, I think it's important to say that libertarians are different than Republicans and Democrats in that we're real skeptics when it comes to the United States and the United States militarily intervening in other countries' affairs, that the interventions that we have in other countries' affairs ultimately have made the world less safe, not more safe. Libertarians really believe that free markets are what should rule the world, and that's what I'm so excited about our new found relationship with Cuba, that free markets would prevail, that Cuba becomes a world player offering the United States goods and services, and in that context that I finally will be able to visit Cuba and enjoy what I think is going to be a marvelous the time spent there, not on, in for many, many years to come.
Okay, I'm being generic and not specific here, but Cuban media typically describes U.S. foreign policy throughout the world as being, you know, belligerent and meddlesome and militaristic. These descriptions apply both to Democrats and Republicans. They don't distinguish. They basically consider them to be both sides of the same coin. What do you make of these assessments, and how would your foreign policy be different?
Well, I agree with those assessments, and this is where the Libertarian Party is different. And I think that the Libertarian Party is reflective of what most Americans think. That it isn't most Americans that want to be meddlesome. It isn't most Americans that want to militarily intervene. And most Americans recognize that what we've done has not worked. So to continue to do what we've done and expect different results, I think that's the definition of insanity.
Okay. Based on, you know, basic tenets of libertarianism, with its emphasis on individual freedom and liberty, and comparing that with Cuba, which is, as you know, a one-party state, which emphasizes the state and the party and the collective we, you know, these are two positions that are antagonistic, antithetical to each other. So based on this, what would be your message to the Cuban people who are listening to this interview right now, whose government or party or state consistently tries to run their lives for them with a multitude of, top-down policies, some quite a bit coercive? What's your message to them?
Well, message is that we as human beings really do cherish our liberties and our freedoms. We really do cherish our personal choices that do exist. If government is standing in the way of personal choice, then ultimately that will get changed. And it should be peaceful change, but I think that free markets, I think the United States finally opening up relationships with Cuba will ultimately lead to change in Cuba, and I am advocating peaceful change that occurs first with free trade, the free flow of goods and services, and travel.
Okay, so I take it based on what you've told me so far that you, at least in this aspect, you agree, you may disagree with President Obama on a multitude of other issues, but you agree with what the White House, the executive branch, Secretary of State Kerry, the White House is doing in terms of normalizing relations with Cuba. You would support that policy. You would try to continue it?
I wholeheartedly, I embrace it. It is what I have talked about for many years and completely embraced. Maybe I don't want to say they stole it from me, but I think I speak on behalf of most Americans, that most Americans are really looking forward to a future relationship with Cuba that for most of our lives has not existed.
Let me ask you this, Governor Johnson, about the U.S. naval base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Not the controversial U.S. detention center inside the naval base that President Obama has been trying to shut down for about 8 years. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the naval base itself, the U.S. has controlled it since 1902, last century. Cuba wants it back. What do you think? What's your position on this?
Well, I think that this is a topic of discussion moving forward, and I understand how having a naval base there is contrary to being a good neighbor. In conjunction with joining hands and moving forward, I think that this should be a discussion front and center. Is it essential for U.S. security? I'll bet that it is not in any way whatsoever, but I do not want to misspeak either, running for president of the United States, but I want to offer up that if it were the other way around, if other countries were staging bases close to our country, we would view that as antagonistic and not good neighborly, as we should be.
What about the U.S. detention center, the jail, against suspected terrorists inside Guantanamo Naval Base? Leave it open? Close it? What would you do?
Well, what needs to be closed, what needs to stop is and Obama, I believe, has done this, but what needs to stop is torture of any sort. What needs to stop is detention without being charged. And I recognize that Guantanamo is occupying a space to deal with a problem that is very real. So if Guantanamo is closed, it needs to be closed for the reasons that I just mentioned. But it is a very real issue that has to be dealt with. If it's not dealt with at Guantanamo, then the United States has to set up somewhere else to deal with the issue.
Okay. And I want you to be entirely honest in responding to this question that I'm about to pose, Governor. But Radio Marti, the media outlet you're speaking with right now, is a U.S. federal government station funded entirely by the U.S. taxpayer. Given this, is this a project that you would be inclined to support if you're elected president? Just give me your thoughts, and I promise you won't hurt my feelings, whatever your answer is.
Well, Alex, I'm for smaller government, so I think that government needs to operate more efficiently, but it needs to do that in the context of everybody kind of shares in that efficiency. So I'm really not looking to cut things as much as just define a role for government. So in the context of balancing a federal budget, you could look at your budget being shrunk by 20%. How are you going to deal with that? Now, that would be Johnson and Johnson proposing that to Congress. But I do believe that government, in fact, is value added, that it does provide goods and services that we want. I think some of those goods and services need to be done away with. In no way would I like to see Radio Martin leave the airways. But I'll bet that there are a lot of things that that could be done to reduce government funding of Radio Martin up to and including perhaps having it go private. But these are discussions that I would love to have as president. And it won't be just with Radio Martin. It'll be with all aspects of government.
Okay, fair enough. Two quick questions domestically. Public opinion polls show that, you know, there's significant levels of unpopularity associated with Donald Trump, Republican, and Democrat Hillary Clinton. What does this suggest to a third-party candidate such as yourself, the Libertarian Party? Can you tap into this swath of independents and non-party affiliates? Can you sway undecided voters, do you think?
I do believe so. I believe that it is possible, and it's possible because they are so polarizing. And there is a real possibility that I will be in the presidential debates along with Bill Weld, my running mate, as vice president.
I was going to ask you that. It looks pretty good for you as far as reaching that 15% threshold in the polls.
It does. And if being in the presidential debates actually happens, then, in my opinion, anything is possible. And we would not be doing this, myself and Bill Weld, we would not be doing this if there weren't the actual opportunity to win, which I also think is a very real possibility.
Okay. Okay. I think we've pretty much allotted the time that we designated for this interview. So I'll ask for your final thoughts on the Cuba issue. I'll tell you what, let's approach it this way. Tell the Cuban people, who are essentially our neighbors, they're only 90 miles away, in broad strokes, what they can expect from a libertarian presidency headed by President Gary Johnson and Vice President Bill Weld.
Well, what Cuban people can expect from a presidency, Gary Johnson, and a vice presidency, Bill Weld, are open arms. Open arms. Welcome, Cuba, and free trade, just friendship. Just look at the United States from a friendship standpoint. This is long overdue, and moving forward, improved relations from the standpoint of greatly improved relations with President Obama.
Okay, one last thing I just thought of this, Governor. Our listeners might also be interested in learning on your views on pot. You're on the record, and it's part of your run to the White House, as being a proponent of the legalization of pot or the decriminalization of pot. Explain your views on this in simple terms so that our listeners can understand them.
Well, very simply, you and I, as human beings, we should be able to make choices in our own lives regarding our own lives, at period. And if that means having a couple of drinks in the evening to take the edge off, or if that means consuming marijuana in the evening to take the edge off, then that should be a freedom, a liberty that we have. As long as those decisions, so consuming marijuana or drinking alcohol, as long as we don't get behind the wheel of a car and harm others, that is a personal choice that you and I should be able to enjoy. And I think it's a real litmus test. I think it's really indicative of what libertarians are about. Being able to make personal choices on everything. That's liberty. That's freedom. Government out of the bedroom. Government out of the pocketbook. Don't allow the government to dictate what you and I should be able to do in the confines of our own home.
Okay. Well, Governor, I'm not out of questions, but I am out of time, and I know you're a busy man. You've got a full agenda. And I just want to thank you for this interview. You're a busy man, as I said. You've been very gracious with your time. And good luck in the coming months, and good luck on Election Day, and I hope you make it to the debates. All the best.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to Cuba. thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.